Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Senator Joe Manchin is once again raising expectations for a permitting deal, but is the hype real this time or is he overselling? Yesterday, Manchin said he hopes to soon release the text of an agreement he aims to strike with Republican Senator John Barrasso. That's what I reported Tuesday with Politico's Catherine Morehouse. And the positive vibes are notable, since Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, of course, recently declared permitting reform all but dead, and since Democrats secured some big clean energy wins through FERC. But it's unclear, though, if Manchin's remarks signal anything has actually changed. And to be clear, the legislative hurdles to any potential permitting deal actually becoming law in an election year are pretty steep. Today, Kat and I catch you up on the latest and help you cut through the permitting noise. It's Wednesday, May 22nd.
So this was a hearing on basically what the U.S. needs to do to meet skyrocketing electricity demand in the next several decades. And there were several industry folks there and just the folks who are most engaged on these issues. And Senator Manchin, who chairs the Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, really took the opportunity early on to say, do you know what would help bring more resources onto the power grid so that we can meet all of this growth that's been spurred by the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act? What could really help is this permitting deal that I've been working on for years at this point, and that basically aims to speed up the build out of new energy infrastructure, including power lines for the grid and new natural gas pipelines and all of these things that are really kind of seen as the leftover pieces after the Inflation Reduction Act. And, you know, he made this point to counter assertions from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer that you covered last week, Josh, that Schumer basically said this long-awaited permitting deal is effectively dead. Manchin said it's not dead. And in fact, we have the text. We're ready to share the text. And basically, we're close here. So just really took the opportunity for this hearing to do that. And then, Josh, we were messaging back and forth a bit, and you were actually able to catch him after this hearing and as well as catch up with some people on Barrasso's team. So can you talk about what you learned and what is really going on here? Is there a deal or is this just talk? What's happening?
I think one thing we know for sure is Manchin really wants a deal and he's eager for a deal to happen. But I don't know that all that has changed. Basically, what Manchin told me outside the hearing room is that he hopes that there's text out agreed to by Republicans, and that would be John Barrasso, the top Republican of the Energy Committee, who he's been talking with for months on this, by as soon as this week. But I do think, you know, in subsequent conversations I had with sources close to Barrasso, they were clear that there's no agreement. They have, in fact, been talking even since Schumer's dismissive comments. So Barrasso did not walk away at that point, although he's been very critical of Schumer's position on this. There's no deal yet, but I did actually run into Barrasso himself a little bit later on in the day. He put it, we're closer and closer. We're continuing to work together productively. So, I mean, the two of them do see the world similarly. They're fossil fuel state senators. I think from everything I hear, they are discussing measures that would help transmission as well as measures that would help fossil fuels. So I do think they are negotiating in good faith, but we don't know based on if there actually will be a deal. And in the bigger question, what would that actually mean, right? Because we don't know if a deal among the two of them would actually go anywhere. And Kat, of course, you know, as you mentioned, permitting reform vibes, you know, hadn't really been all that great since Schumer made his comments. You know, what prompted those comments was Democrats did get some pretty big transmission wins from FERC, so outside of Congress. So Kat, I was hoping you could kind of remind us what FERC did on transmission and kind of from, you know, an industry perspective. I mean, what's left for Congress to potentially do to like help industry? I mean, what are you hearing?
So a quick recap of what it is that FERC actually did. They said, we are going to require transmission developers, grid operators, utilities to look 20 years into the future and develop new grid infrastructure and power lines based on those long-term projections. So it's an attempt to move away from a process that we've been stuck in for all these years, where we see all this money spent on infrastructure to address immediate needs and instead look at long-term needs. And there's been a ton of research and case studies showing that if you just widen your lens a bit, you can build infrastructure that addresses these current and future needs and avoid, again, some of those more costly piecemeal solutions. This rule also clarified some issues around cost allocation, basically laying out how benefits of a new power line should be quantified and saying to states that if you benefit from this line, you should pay for this line. What it doesn't do is resolve inter-regional transmission. So there's intra and inter. What it does is addresses transmission within regions. It does not address transmission between regions. Those are the really big lines that a lot of people see as critical to this macro grid that is seen as kind of essential to a net zero economy. There are also some cost allocation pieces still missing that people in the industry would like to see resolve. And just generally from a legal perspective, congressional action is always stronger here than FERC action. So I think people in the industry remain hopeful that Congress will still step in and put out stronger language into law that can help FERC go further and carry out any sort of congressional directives that would make it really clear that, hey, FERC's job is to do X and basically give FERC as many tools as it possibly can have to build out a grid as efficiently and as broadly as possible. And so that's what industry is really hoping for. And so, Josh, I'm sure a lot of folks would love to hear your take on, even if we take Manchin at his word that a deal with Barrasso is close, what are the hurdles here to actually getting a permitting bill into law this year?
Big thing is that Manchin and Barrasso, they don't represent really their caucus. They don't have real power here. And I think it just gets back to what Schumer said earlier. I mean, Schumer controls the gavel. He controls what comes to the floor. And these are two fossil fuel state senators who are leading the Energy Committee. And what Schumer has to represent is the entirety of his caucus. And I think there's a lot in an election year, 6 months out at this point, you know, that President Biden's getting a lot of pressure from the left on what he's doing on fossil fuels. So it's going to be difficult for a lot of Democrats and the president to support any deal that might come out of a Manchin-Barrasso agreement that very likely would have something for fossil fuels. And then, you know, the way Schumer's put it is he's very skeptical that like House Republicans would ever agree to anything that Manchin-Barrasso might agree with that helps transmission, because we haven't seen House Republicans really engage seriously at all on transmission, even if Barrasso and maybe some members of the Senate Energy Committee who are Republicans are saying that they understand the needs here. There's so many balls in the air that actually, and so many steps that have to happen before anything becomes law. And it's also an issue that very well could just kind of move forward. We know the issues aren't going anywhere with permitting. So depending on the election outcome, I think you can make a pitch for why a Trump could maybe pursue permitting or Biden in a second administration, you know, is that missing piece to IRA. So I feel like there's a lot of carryover as well. And there's not really any must-pass kind of legislation, big packages that are due here in the next 6 months. Also, the Biden administration announced Tuesday it would release 42 million gallons of gasoline from the Strategic Fuel Reserve into Northeast markets to help cool off retail fuel prices. The Department of Energy said in a statement it was meeting the congressional mandate to, quote, maximize its impact on gasoline prices. Listeners may know that the coming Memorial Day weekend is typically considered the beginning of the summer driving season when demand for gasoline climbs. The release, though, will likely have little impact on prices, given drivers in the Northeast generally consume that volume of gasoline in just a single day. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.